Blog Talk Radio.
Is that what it is? Yeah,
yeah.
Big snail. Oh, picture of a big snail, somebody said.
Mm-hmm. And he says, Dervish says, never confuse education with intelligence.
If you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. Malcolm X. He's right about that.
Yep.
Clarence Thomas, here's one from Joel Bulman. Clarence Thomas is going to rake in the dough if he rules against Obamacare. Share this image.
Recuse yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, I wonder what he has going.
I'm very curious. It didn't really say.
Strange. The clouds are crazy here in Saskatchewan. We've been having wild and crazy tornado weather. They look like mushrooms hanging from the sky.
Yeah, hanging from the sky. Getting stranger and stranger all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was just going through this. I tried to pick up stuff from the...
people send you stuff.
Oh, they send me great stuff, you know, a lot of times, and I use it on the news. I found the key to happiness. Stay the hell away from assholes. I like that one.
Oh, here's something here. Here's a good comment. There are two people sitting in a cell, and one says to the other, I got 3 months for stealing billions on Wall Street. And the one next to him says, I got 3 years for possession of a few joints.
Yeah, that's by Rodney Applegate, and mm-hmm. he sends me a lot of stuff.
Well, let's go to the other site and.
Yeah, what I had was one that was really quite alarming to me.
Well, where is it? Let's get to it.
Yeah, I'm going there.
Fish runs this year, and they've closed a lot of the streams.
Why is that? Do they know?
What's causing that?
Oh, but I'm thinking it might have something to do with Fukushima.
Are you getting much? Are you getting any more of that? Any more than the salmon? Are you finding anything else up there that is?
I'm waiting until the lodges open up to talk to them about the trout, because they just opened and they're really not, you know, busy until the 1st of July. You know, so I wait for the guys to get in and fish for a couple weeks, you know, before I get some information on the trout, the grayling, and other fish species.
What did you say was happening with the salmon exactly?
Well, the run is pretty much gone. You know, we get you know, 30, 40, 50,000 kegs run up Kenai, and they've only counted about 1,200.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Boy, that's not only devastating to the fish itself, it's devastating to the people who make their living from salmon fishing.
Yeah, all the different guide services and all the businesses around there at B&Bs, you know, it's going to devastate them over in Kenai, yeah.
No one's mentioned a word on the news about that.
No one wants to hear bad news.
I haven't seen anything on the internet yet either. If this is the first, about the salmon run.
I doubt they're gonna. You know, we get some local. If you punch in probably the local news here, you might get, you know, closures of different rivers. You know, but I doubt it's gonna go national.
Now, the salmon that are running, has anybody tested them for radioactivity?
I haven't. And I'm trying to see if I can get someone in the colleges who have the equipment to do that to do it. I imagine some people are. I imagine the government is, you know, but they're just not letting anyone else know. I'm trying to find some independent people. In fact, I'm trying to get the money together to it's going to cost about $500 just to buy this specific rad meter that has probes that you can internal test too. And once I get that money saved up, I'll buy it. That should be in a few weeks. And I'm going to do it this summer myself.
Yeah, we'd appreciate your reports on that, you know, every week to hear what you come up with.
Okay, well, I'm offering it, yeah.
Yeah, give us a call
absolutely.
And let us know. Now, what about the debris? Are you seeing a lot of debris from Japan on the beaches?
Not up here in Anchorage, but it is hitting down in Yakutat and Cordova, and south of there, southeast Alaska.
No. We would really appreciate an update every so often there from you on the Alaskan wildlife and what's going on up there and
what about the air quality?
Yeah.
Is anybody talking about that?
I've tried to get to see if they pretty much, the EPA has stopped testing. They stopped downloading it. But like I said, no one's doing it, so I guess I'm going to have to do it. Because it's hard enough for me to try to get a college to go out and do it.
Really?
You know? But they're not going to, I imagine, you know, they don't want to jeopardize any, you know,
yeah,
government
funding.
Grants and big contracts that they have, so,
you know if there's any illness or sickness or increase in that in your hospital.
I did notice that the hospitals, you know, I've had a cold for the last 2 weeks. That's why I sound the way I do, you know. It's just been a head cold, but it's odd, you know,
because
I'm usually never sick.
We had a guest on about a couple months ago, Cass Ingram, Dr. Cass Ingram, and he wrote several books, but he wrote a book on radiation illness, and he's saying that they're seeing incredible increases in the lower 48 states, especially in California and Washington, Oregon, those areas. Of radiation sickness, they're not releasing that information so much. But being a medical doctor, you know, he gets that information and he sees it, and watches for it in his own practice. But he's seeing this in his own practice, and he's in Illinois, so it's like you're finding that people are. Oh, and there's another thing I saw recently. Where people, all of the vegetables coming from California
are all
radioactive. One guy went over the entire produce section of a store with a Geiger counter, and he was getting incredible readings. Okay, from everything in the produce section. I mean, from apples to lettuce to everything. celery?
Well, like I told you earlier, I don't know if it was just the ion radiation, you know, ultraviolet from the sun, but most of my starts at the beginning of the year that I had set up for the garden, they all fried when they went outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of the things that you can do to go online to try, maybe to like Dr. Cass Ingram's site, and he has books on what you can do to help yourself.
Yeah, you gotta go to knowledgehousepublishing.com. Knowledgehousepublishing.com. All right.
Yeah.
And see all of his books there. He's got one on radiation illness. Okay. And how to combat it, how to identify it, but how to combat it.
But how to help yourself?
Nutritionally. He's also a nutritionist, and he's helped me with diagnosing a food allergy that I had, which nobody knew what the hell it was. You know, it was which caused psoriasis. But the minute he told me it was a food allergy and I discovered what it was, I no longer have the problem.
But so, he said, go to knowledge.
What was the food?
The food actually was
it was
gluten. I was allergic to wheat and gluten and beer and anything that has to do with wheat. People have been suffering with this thing for years, and even doctors aren't even medical doctors, the hospitals, all these people, they're just becoming aware of it now. This was diagnosed, 5 years ago for me.
Right.
Right, when I developed.
Before it really came into the forefront.
Right. Now 20, 30 million people have it in this country that have been diagnosed with it, and there's probably another 30 million that have it and don't know about it.
But knowledgehousepublishing.com, go to his site, and you can see all the books he's written, and there is one on radiation and what you can do to help yourself.
Yeah, and identify it.
You might find that helpful. I don't know. Have you done any research on that or no?
Yeah, actually, you know, the funny thing you say, I was listening to Coast last night, and there was a guy out there talking about mushrooms. Like, he has different mushrooms, oyster mushrooms. He has a blend called My Community and Rooster Tail, I think, is the other one, or Horse's Tail.
I don't know if I haven't read the one on radiation illness and how you can help yourself nutritionally with that.
He's saying mushrooms. This guy said mushrooms help.
Yeah.
Oh,
carrot.
Yeah, that's
right. Carrot is. It was funny thing. It was mostly for veterinarians. They noticed that the horses were curing their tumors by eating these different barks and weeds and mushrooms. So the doctor applied it to humans, and he wound up curing people of lung cancer and different tumors. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
All from mushrooms.
Yeah, we're doing our best to destroy all of it, aren't we?
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah. He put oyster mushrooms over a bed of grass that was polluted from a diesel tank, and it... basically, the mushrooms grew, and it took away all the cleaned all the soil.
Wow!
It drew it all, and here's the kicker: it somehow chemically broke down the byproducts and the benzene and everything that was in this fuel, and the mushrooms were still edible. There was nothing the matter with them.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
It off in some form of gas, I imagine, or just crapped it out while mushrooms crap, you know? But, yeah.
That's amazing.
But it cleaned up all the fuel. I mean, that is amazing and edible, too.
Not but of course, no huge company can come in and sell you something. You know,
exactly.
Can't make money on mushrooms, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the problem.
Very bad.
I was talking to, It was I don't know if you caught our tribute to George Dixon last Friday.
But, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
oh, you did, good.
Thanks, I'm glad you tuned in. But Pete Moon, who was quite the author and quite involved with a lot of topics, but a lot of subjects, but specifically scientific and archaeological. But John Brennan as well was a chemtrail activist and been on our show for many number of years. But they said there were many cures out there to cure the atmosphere, cure the environment, but they're just not bringing them out. They refuse to bring them out. One of the biggest issues we have right now is this Colorado fire. I mean, they can chemtrail the hell out of that area, you know, and cause downpours.
They can cloud seed.
They can cloud seed that area and put out that raging fire down there, but they're not doing it. If you look at, we have more chemtrails in our area, okay, than they have there. I've been looking at watching the news recently, and they've been showing the sky, photos of the sky and stuff in Colorado, and it's blue, without, you know, and virtually no clouds. So it's like they're not cloud seeding, which they probably could easily do, and knock out those fires. But we're pretty well convinced that it's a burn. You know, it's part of this Agenda 21, which is bringing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they're trying to drive off all the natural predators and all the natural animals and vegetation so no one can live out there. You know, it's going to grow back, but they just want to mess with what's there now, you know. It's not an evil agenda by the Log Home Builders Association. They benefit, you know, but that's not the problem. The problem, and it's not all these, you know, firefighters that make a bunch of money an hour to go fight the fires. Last I heard, those firefighters weren't making that much. $15 an hour, you know. I ain't putting my life on the line for $15 an hour in that aspect. You know, I'd fight a fire, but, you know, it wasn't about the money. But, you know, yeah, it's definitely a controlled burn that they want to destroy that area.
I was sort of thinking maybe the super slab was going up through there. I don't know.
North American Union, is part of that area. I don't know if Colorado though is getting burned for that reason, but
I don't know.
But they're trying. What they've done is they've a super highway from Mexico to Canada, right through the middle of the country, and
yeah.
And if you look at what's been happening, all the floods, all of the fires and everything else throughout there.
It seems to be
headed north, all right? And you just saw a guy like, why is a guy like George Soros buying up floodlands? You know what I mean?
yeah.
What the hell does he need with floodlands? He's buying up millions as much as he can get his hands on.
Well, he's buying up all the water rights
and
everywhere, worldwide.
Well, not just, yeah, but I mean the floodlands and, you know, that. These areas are just, you know, worthless.
I got two words for George Soros: eminent domain.
Eminent domain, yeah, that's exactly it.
Taxpayer eminent domain.
I guess this article is going to bring out. Please stay on with us. Enjoy your company. But it's this article was on warning. This is from the.
Mail Online,
which is a British newspaper, and it's warning: Olympic germs headed here. Why health officials will be on high alert?
The conversation is one being repeated across the country. Feeling hot and everything aches. Think I might have the flu. A colleague has just called in with similar. Have you seen a doctor? The difference here is that this interchange is being played out over the internet on social networking sites like Twitter, and the big doctor is watching.
For this
conversation could be the thing that alerts the Health Protection Agency to the outbreak of an infectious disease during this summer's Olympics in Paris. In advance of the games, officials have set up what's been dubbed the biggest health surveillance system in the world. This will involve closely tracking our behavior. Normally, the health authorities rely on doctors and NHS helplines reporting outbreaks such as the flu, but for the Olympics, they'll be tracking information daily from out-of-hours, GPs, walk-in centers, emergency departments, and even networking sites such as Twitter and Facebook. The reason for such heavy surveillance is to prevent the outbreak of disease sweeping through the Olympic village, or indeed the nation. The influx of visitors is beginning as more than 14,000 athletes from 205 Olympic teams and 170 Paralympic teams start arriving. During the Games, an extra 4 million people are expected to visit the capital on the busiest day, Saturday, August 4th. 700,000 spectators will be crisscrossing London to see events at 11 venues. That's a lot of people. And people are very effective conduits for disease, says Dr. David Heyman, professor of infectious disease at epidemiology at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Bacteria, viruses, and parasites can travel while still in the incubation period. This means before they have started to cause symptoms. This can range from 12 to 48 hours for noroviruses, also known as the winter vomiting bug, to several months for TB. Furthermore, those people who have come from all over the world and then bring it back home.
There is a chance that diseases will not normally see in the UK will be coming in and circulating more quickly. But prevention is key, says officials, and HPA has been taking advice from Olympics host cities as well as organizers of mass gatherings ranging from the Hajj, the Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca, to music festivals and sporting events. What was emerged in the importance of having high-quality and well-tested systems in place to monitor and respond to outbreaks. So they're gearing up for something. And
were they pushing a vaccine by chance, a flu vaccine?
It doesn't say on this one, but what they're doing is... I think they're getting ready, you know, to...
Wait a minute. It says down here.
It sounds like a release of the Spanish flu of 1917 to me.
They're doing so. They've already done that in many areas, but they put that together with the H1N1 because they built up a resistance. People have built up a resistance to the Spanish flu. So... what they did is they combined the Spanish flu with the H1N1 and then spread it.
It could be whatever it is. I was just saying it's obviously a false flag, psyop crap that they pull to, you know, bring on their little, you know, let's go kill 200 million people, you know, barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, Mail Online, I mean, that's like... that's a major newspaper in London, you know, in England. So for them to be publishing that, you know, they're obviously, setting people up for a scare, you know.
And
I think we're going to see that. There's been a lot of information up coming out about that lately.
Mm-hmm.
And
saying that people suspect that they're going to be sprayed.
Yeah, it's kind of like they've already...
getting people ready.
Yeah, and it's not just one thing. It's that and what's going on in St. Louis, Missouri right now, and the weird, you know, psyop going on down there, and all the C-130s flying in Elmendorf over my house for the last month, you know. I mean, they're flying more stuff. They're trying to pawn it off on an air show, but, you know, I've lived here for years, and I know what an air show is, and these aren't, you know, you don't fly in C-130s just for an air show.
So they've actually been doing it. So they're actually chemtrailing a lot of you there, too.
We actually haven't had a lot of chemtrail this year, you know. I don't know why, but, yeah, they still chemtrail, but not as much as they did 2 years ago, the last 2 years. But, you know, a lot of German planes, I've noticed the flags on the planes, Sweden, Germany, and one that looked Slavic of some kind.
Huh, really? It's kind of bizarre, but you know, they're doing it. They're doing it. And,
oh yeah. Well, we've been saying it for years. Well, you know, they're getting all their ducks in a row, and we're going to sit there and allow them to get all their ducks in a row, and then we're going to be left with their pants down, like, you know, a few million G's sitting on a train platform going, who knows, God knows, you know? So.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. There's no doubt about it. I'm having a little difficulty with my computer being extremely slow here for a minute.
I think you have too many windows open, maybe.
Yeah, I only have two. But
there it is.
Treatment of Palestinian children and the law governing treatment of Israeli children.
The report compares the military justice system in the West Bank to the Israeli civilian legal system, finding key differences in the treatment of children. The most egregious are the length of time child detainees can be held before being brought before a judge, up to 24 hours for Israeli children, compared with 8 days for Palestinian children, without access to a lawyer, 48 hours for Israelis, compared with 90 days for Palestinians, and without charge, 40 days for Israelis, 188 days for Palestinians. The minimum age for custodial sentences is 14 for Israeli children, but 12 for Palestinian children.
Amazing, yeah. I mean, it gets crazier and crazier. And this article goes quite a bit.
But I think you get the
yeah.
picture, folks. It's really a system of injustice.
Complete and utter injustice.
And that's just one of many that are being perpetrated on the Palestinian people.
We talked about what they're doing, the out and out racism, where they're kicking black Ethiopians and so on people out of Egypt. As well, just because they're black.
Out of Egypt, not out of Egypt, sorry, but out
of Jerusalem and out of everywhere. It's really a mess, and you know, very few people talk about it, but we keep trying to bring this stuff up.
They're in violation of so many treaties,
God, it's just
and
disgusting.
Supported by the UN, which is unbelievable. But anyway, quantum research able to stop and restart light. I think this is fascinating. In two independent experiments that defy the notions of Einstein, researchers have been able to stop and then restart a beam of light. Ordinarily, light travels at the speed of 186,282 miles per second, but the research team of Len Hao, professor of physics at Harvard, who in 1999 was able to slow light down to 38 miles per hour, has been able to trap light in a cloud of sodium atoms supercooled to near absolute zero.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hmm.
Sounds like some I really want these people messing with.
I agree with you there. But it goes on to say that the guy discovered this in 1999. Let's see. In an independent experiment, an easier approach was tried by the team of Ronald Walsworth and Ron at Harvard.
Oh, well, that just goes into the technical.
But they shot laser beams through a dense cloud of rubidium and helium gas. The light bounced from atom to atom, gradually slowing down until it stopped, and no super vacuum or ultra cloud was needed. In fact, the chamber where the light stopped was a temperature of 176 degrees Fahrenheit. And both experiments accomplished almost the same thing. However, the CFA experiment... Researchers were only able to store about half of the incoming light, and the storage time was about half that of Howe's experiment. So they can actually stop light, which I think is really...
Yeah, I don't think they stop light. I think what they're really doing is just bending the light. I know what it says, and they've said a lot of things throughout the years, you know, but I always question everything now because we can't trust anything these people say anymore.
Well, it says that Einstein said that it was impossible for light to travel at a speed faster than 186,282 miles per second. And in this case, he has not been proven wrong. But he says it was impossible for light to travel any faster than that. But there's a 3-minute video which might be interesting.
I think it's probably going to show it.
They'll
explain it. Let's hope so. Let's go to it and see what it
is. You don't sound enthusiastic.
No, because I think they're going to show us something which people can't
see. Use of light at far slower speeds.
And then we have the AOS over here. They're pretty much all functioning now.
At her lab on the campus of Harvard University, Dr. Lena Howe has taken slow light to the extreme by reducing light speed to zero.
The speed of light, of course, is incredibly high. I mean, nothing goes faster than light. and you know, the usual 186,000 miles per second. And we kind of thought, gee, that's awfully high. Let's try to do something about it.
So we have the detector right there.
Howe and her team conducted their experiments in a complex laboratory filled with lasers, mirrors, prisms, and other exotic gear. It is a branch of physics where few have dared to tread.
If you can start to change things so dramatically as taking this enormous light speed and then bring it down to bicycle speed, that then you're in a completely new regime of nature. You're able to now start to probe areas, regions of nature where nobody has ever been there before.
The brakes are put on light speed inside Howe's lab by focusing lasers on two microscopic clouds of sodium gas chilled to a few billionths of a degree above absolute zero. A control laser hitting the two clouds sets them up for action. Then, a quick light pulse shoots into the first cloud, where it is squeezed into the gas and slowed to just a few miles per hour.
The light pulse goes from being about 1 kilometer long in free space, it compresses like a concertina as it enters the atom cloud, and ends up being only 0.02 millimeter in size. That's less than half the thickness of a hair. So really small, and it's so small that the light pulse actually ends up fitting totally inside the atom cloud.
Howe says the atomic imprint of light in the sodium cloud is a perfect copy, embedded in atoms, of the original light pulse. It can then be stopped in free space between the two clouds before moving on. When it enters the second cloud, another shot of the control laser expands it to its original size, shape, and speed of 186,000 miles per second. It is comparable in some ways to a science fiction transporter that sends people or objects through space.
So in this experiment, what we really do is we stop and extinguish a light pulse in one part of space and revive it in a completely different part of space and send it back on its way.
Since light can carry information, this super advanced technology points the way to futuristic light-based computers that bypass wires and electronic chips. Information read directly from light may be faster, more compact, and more secure than anything we have to.
If you want to check that out, you can go to YouTube. It's on YouTube, and it's called Lena Howe's Laser Experiments. That's Lena, L-E-N-A, and Howe is H-A-U-apostrophe-S, Laser Experiments. And really, it's really fascinating.
So implications for
computer,
which is...
You know,
yeah, they can actually stop time, stop light.
Now,
slow it down.
What if you did this? If you're stopping it, then you're creating some form of energy that could be harnessed somehow.
Well, that's
what would that produce?
Exactly what they're saying. They can use it. Their light can be used for instead of computer and electronics and all this kind of stuff. They instead of wires and optics and so on. Light can be harnessed to communicate through.
Yeah, I understand that, but I was just talking about harnessing the actual energy itself.
But here's another one that really knocked me out when I read it. UFO at the bottom of the Baltic Sea cuts off electrical equipment when divers get within 200 meters of it. So divers exploring a UFO-shaped object at the bottom of the Baltic Sea say their equipment stopped working when they approached within 200 meters. I'm sorry. And the professional diver Stefan Holgerborn, part of the OceanX team, which is exploring the anomaly, said some of the team's cameras and the team's satellite phones would refuse to work when directly above the object. It would only work once they had sailed away. He also quoted as saying, anything electric out there and the satellite phone as well stopped working when they were above the object. And this sunk into the Baltic Sea. So, and, hang on a second. Quoted as saying,
Diver Peter Lindbergh said, we've experienced things really couldn't imagine, and I've been the team's biggest skeptic regarding these different kinds of theories. I was kind of prepared just to find a stone or cliff or outcrop or a pile of mud, but it was nothing like that. So for me, it has been a missing experience, I must say.
Remember, Dennis Asperg said, I'm 100% convinced and confident that we have found something that is very, very unique. Then it is a meteorite or an asteroid or a volcano or a base form, say a U-boat from the Cold War, which has manufactured and placed there, or if it is a UFO.
Well, honestly, it has to be something. The quotes were first reported at NDTV. The Mail Online has reached out to OceanX team for clarification. The object was first found in May last year, but because of a lack of funding and bad timing, they were not able to pull a team together to see for themselves just the strange metallic outline and a similar dish-shaped object about 200 meters away. During their visit, the team saw a 985-foot trail that they described as a runway or downhill path that is flattened at the seabed with the object at the end of it. It was before the recent dive. The story behind the object is anyone's guess, from a plug to the inner world to the Millennium Falcon ship from Star Wars. While the Ocean Explorer team is understandably excited about their potentially earth-shattering find, others are slightly more skeptical and are questioning the accuracy of the sonar technology. In the past, such technology has confused foreign objects with unusual but natural rock formations. So, what else? Part of the trouble they face, however, is that they have no way of telling what is inside the supposed cylinder, whether it is filled with gold and riches or simply aged sediment particles. They're hoping for the former, and history seems to be in their favor. The Baltic Sea is a treasure trove for shipwreck hunters, as an estimated 100,000 objects are thought to line the cold sea floor. The company has created a submarine that they hope will appeal to tourists and wannabe shipwreck hunters who will pay to take a trip down to the bottom of the Baltic Sea to see for themselves.
This should be that's interesting. It could be a UFO.
It could be a publicity thing, though, too.
It could be, but I don't know.
Who knows?
There was one other thing I wanted to mention here tonight, and it was a report on vitamin D. And what they're stating is, let's go to this one, by the way. This is only a minute long. This is on the domestic drones.
We should be concerned about.
Possible drone uses is spying on the U.S. citizens, commercial delivery, but following vehicles. They're talking about the uses here, and this is Russian TV. Let's go to that quickly.
It's an issue that we've been covering at RT for a while now, drones. For many, the thought of having robotic flying machines of all shapes and sizes over America is unsettling, to say the least. But what exactly can drones be used for? Spying. No, you can't personally use drones to watch your sexy neighbor undress. There are still laws preventing toms from peeping, and if you're caught, there'll be no sympathy from the courts on that one. As far as the government goes, well, we already know Big Brother's watching, and usually courts don't recognize privacy rights concerning anything that can be seen from a public vantage point. So keep your blinds closed if you don't want cops seeing your pile of weed. Delivery. Not yet. So far, the FAA prohibits most commercial use of drones, and delivery for compensation is not allowed yet. Congress is asking the FAA to re-examine its policy, so don't write off pizza delivery drones in the near future quite yet. To follow, technically, yes, officers can follow vehicles without warrants, so using drones to do it instead may be a perfect way to evade the recent ruling that requires a warrant to install GPS on someone's car. This dystopic, futuristic scenario is here and around the corner from becoming a reality. Inform yourself on what privacy rights you still have. And remember, the next time you think you see a UFO, don't worry. It's just an unmanned drone watching you.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's so true. But since they have 30,000 of them out there.
Here's your vitamin D article.
I saw that, but I wanted to end with a Lady Gaga perfume article. Is the U.S. government setting the stage to outlaw vitamin D like raw milk? Mainstream media attacks nutrition. The United States government has just crossed the threshold of nutritional insanity with an announcement that postmenopausal women should avoid taking vitamin D. This announcement, made by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, is tantamount to declaring war on nutrition. In a nation where 90%+ of the population is chronically deficient in vitamin D, any government edict that encourages people to avoid this life-saving vitamin will only result in more cancer, more Alzheimer's disease, more bone fractures, more diabetes, more kidney disease. Which is, of course, exactly what the medical establishment wants. After all, how are the drug companies supposed to make money treating patients with cancer if they prevent cancer themselves by using dirt cheap vitamin D? And this is so true. And let's see, this is by Natural News, by the way, and it says the mainstream media predictably has dutifully followed the government's anti-nutrition advice by distorting the conclusions of the study and running headlines like this one in USA Today, the corporate-run disinfo outlet. Panel to postmenopausal women, don't take vitamin D, calcium. The author of this article the Three Stooges of mainstream journalism for their absurdly inaccurate headline. For starters, the study covered in the article only mentioned that the postmenopausal women shouldn't take low doses of vitamin D combined with calcium. According to the U.S. government, a low dose is something around 200 units daily, and a virtually useless quantity of vitamin D. Most nutritionists recommend 4,000 units daily, or even more.
So what the U.S. Prevention Service Task Force really determined is that taking a ridiculously low dose of vitamin D isn't very helpful to your health. The logical conclusion from this is that people should take higher doses of vitamin D, which have, through hundreds of studies, been shown to help prevent cancer, increase bone mineral density, prevent kidney disease, and so on. So the accurate headline in USA Today, if the paper actually were interested in educating and informing readers about nutrition, would be, and I quote, postmenopausal women need higher doses of vitamin D, but instead the headline read, don't take vitamin D, calcium. It's yet another example of not just inaccurate reporting, but irresponsible reporting that puts people's lives at risk. If a vitamin D had a lawyer, it would sue USA Today for defamation. With this kind of reporting from one of the nation's most widely circulated papers, it's no wonder the population remains nutritionally illiterate and suffering from runaway degenerative disease.
And the real agenda is to criminalize nutrition.
And all supplements, yeah.
Yeah, the real agenda in all of this, however, is not just an assault on nutrition and a push to keep the American people malnourished and riddled with cancer. The real purpose of this so-called task force announced is to set the stage for banning vitamin D. Now, wait a minute, you say, the government couldn't ban vitamin D. That would be ridiculous. But then I point out that for decades, the FDA banned stevia, the herbal sweetener, and it actually raided stevia importation companies, seized stevia inventory, and even ordered the destruction of recipe books advocating stevia as a replacement for sugar. The FDA has a long history of criminalizing nutrients and natural medicines. And that the agency famously criminalized the Chinese herb ephedra. And over the last 3 years, the FDA has been the force behind the raw milk raids, which have taken place in California, Wisconsin, and elsewhere. And before banning something, however, that thing must first be shown to be dangerous. It's a problem, reaction, solution, setup. They're where the government established the false paradigm of the problem, vitamin D harms you, then they rush in with their desired solution, ban vitamin D. Why ban vitamin D supplements? Well, Vitamin D is the single most important nutrient preventing disease in America today. And why?
Absolutely.
Because most people live outdoors, or indoors, rather. They work indoors. They go to the gym indoors. They stay at home indoors. They get virtually no sunlight, and as a result, Americans are chronically deficient in vitamin D. There are receptor sites for vitamin D in virtually every organ in the body, the brain, the kidney, the liver, the intestines, and the heart. They are all need vitamin D to function correctly. Without vitamin D in the body, lots of lucrative, high-profit diseases start to appear.
Cancer, kidney disorders, osteoporosis, arthritis, depression, obesity, diabetes, immune disorders, neuromuscular disorders, metabolic disorders. These diseases, in turn, translate into a windfall of profits for Big Pharma, which is, of course, the corporate master served by the FDA itself. Thus, outlawing vitamin D would mean a massive wave of new profits for the drug industry, which is facing financial collapse due to the cascading collapse of governments around the world that buy Big Pharma drugs. Greece, Spain, and soon the USA.
And only the uniformed...
Uninformed,
naive masses do not believe that corporations could conspire to keep people sick in order to make billions in profits. Drug companies are driven purely by selfish greed, and they think nothing of using children or prisoners for medical experiments. So criminalizing vitamin D would mean a windfall of new profits for the criminal drug industry. So watch for new attacks on this vitamin in the weeks and months ahead. The medical cartel is attempting to outlaw nutrition and censor free speech about nutrients. And the government, the media, and the drug companies are all conspiring to keep you sick, make sure you die before you collect Social Security, and deny you access to accurate information about nutritional cures for cancer, among other things. We are living in a time of great deceit, where we are being forcefully separated from knowledge and wisdom. That's why spreading the word about vitamin D is so important for humanity. You can help by sharing our free vitamin D infographic guide, which is great. So please go to naturalnews.com. Excellent, excellent site. The guy's got a tremendous number of great articles. And, he pretty much tells it like it is. And we get about 3 minutes left. Is Rod still with us?
No.
Oh, he's gone. I want to thank our buddy from Alaska. And for joining us tonight.
That was great.
And
I hope he calls again and lets us know what's happening with the fish.
Yeah,
that's very disturbing about the salmon.
Yeah, and I hope that he
keeps us updated on that.
And we as well go. Ron Paul among Senate members to vote against GMO labeling amendment. All right. I don't know why that is. Oh, Rand Paul. That explains everything. Rand Paul. Yeah. That's it. Ron Paul. I wanted to end with this. This one I wanted to end with tonight because it really gagged you. Lady Gaga's new perfume, created using blend of human blood, semen, and poisonous extract.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Natural News. If you have ever doubted the truly satanic essence of the infamous Lady Gaga, then you need look no further than her new perfume, which is expected to debut this fall. According to the Boston Globe and various other sources, the new Gaga scent, known as Fame, was created using a sample of Gaga's own blood, as well as semen from another unknown donor. And the blend apparently also contains a highly toxic plant extract that is known to kill humans.
Why would you put that on?
I don't know. It could all be just one big demonic publicity stunt to market the ugly black liquid packaged in an alien-like egg-shaped bottle held by what appears to be slender claws. But several sources confirm that Gaga's literally used her own DNA to create the scent, which included offering up a blood sample that was actually added to the fragrance batch where the alleged semen came from, though is still unknown. It was taken out of my own blood sample, she said. So it's a sense of having me on your skin, said Gaga in early 2011 about the perfume. I wanted to extract sort of a feeling and sense of blood and semen from molecular structures. That is in the perfume. but it doesn't smell like that. Actually, the perfume smells like an expensive hooker.
and
you understand this, it's about Lady Gaga's scent contains poisonous plant extract, and the ingredient listed printed on the fragrance bottle says it contains tears of belladonna, crushed heart of tiger or chudia, and black veil of incense, pulverized apricot, and the combinative essences of saffron and honey drops. A particular concern here is tears of belladonna, which StarCast.net reports an extract of an extremely poisonous plant known as belladonna, or deadly nightshade. Deadly nightshade has apparently been used throughout history as both an anesthetic and a poison. The berries produced by the plant appear safe and delicious, but just a few of them can kill a child, and a single leaf, in fact, is capable of killing a grown adult. And perhaps this is a metaphor for Gaga herself, as millions are drawn to her mysterious persona and musical style, only to be destroyed by the monster hiding within. But in all seriousness, this extract, if truly present in Gaga's perfume, is highly problematic for human health, not to mention the potential presence of blood in the semen. An Italian woman used to apply extracts of deadly nightshade in their eye drops to make their eyes dilate, a practice that has since been determined to be very risky. So between the toxic belladonna extract, the blood, and the semen, any rational person will clearly be able to see that avoiding Lady Gaga's fame scent like the plague is the only option here. And then again, these additives may not be any more toxic than the synthetic petrochemical-based fragrance chemicals added to those other perfumes.
Oh, wow.
So that's the news for tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined us. And, we hope that...
And you'll be on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow and take you into a journey into our fourth-dimensional realm. And we will see you then.
Good
and
night,
in the meantime, I want to thank our friend from Alaska who joined us, and
I'm sure he'll give us a call again.
Okay,
very update.
Very interested to see if he can get some radiation levels going.
Yeah, I hope he's able to also to cure his cold.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, and
good night, folks,
and good night.